In our Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. First Samuel chapter 30, we'll start reading at verse number 1. Ask you to stand, please, while we read the Word of God. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Notice the end of verse number 6, but David encouraged himself in God, his God, in the Lord God. Look in verse number 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? He answered him, pursue, for thou shalt overtake them, and without fail recover all. Verse number 18 and 19. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything they had taken to them. David recovered all. Let's bow our heads, please, for a word of prayer. After that, you may be seated. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you today for the privilege that we have to come to you in prayer. Thank you for all the singing, the songs, the Sunday school, and Father, what a great blessing today just to be in the house of God. I thank you and give you glory and praise and thanks. Then, Lord, we think of a special request that was made to us today, and Father, I pray for that request. I pray for that church. I pray for that situation. Ask in Jesus' name that you watch over and care. I pray, God, that you'd help folk in Japan. I pray for them, and I ask you, Lord, to help us to have compassion and care about others in this world. Then I pray for all those here today in the house of God. You bless. Thank you for those you brought back in that's been sick and able to get back. Then we pray for those who could not come that you'd help them. But, Lord, most of all today, we pray now you'd help us in the preaching. I need a divine touch of God. You help us preach as you'd have us to do so. I pray you'd help us to remember. Help us to say what you want us to say. And I pray the word of God go forth with power. And you said your word would not return void. It would accomplish that wherein that you send it. And Father, we try today to obey you and preach the word of God. I pray you'd use it. Speak to hearts. Bring conviction. I pray unsaved will be under conviction that they'll see their need and want to be saved. I pray for those who may be falling afar off, want to come and follow closely to Jesus. Thank you again for that name, Jesus. We pray in his name and for his glory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach today on the subject, some things we need to recover. And if you've been in church very long at all, you probably have heard messages from this text, and I preach different messages from this text, but today I'm trying to do what God had me to do and sharing this with you because we certainly need to recover some things in our day that we're losing quickly. And let me say this as I begin the message. We need to think about the day, and I mentioned Japan, I'm not going to dwell on that, but let me say to you today that the Bible, we're living in days that we're seeing simply Bible prophecy fulfilled. And it's not just in Japan, but earthquakes all around the world are happening more regularly every year. There's recorded more each year by year. And the Bible says that in the last days there'll be earthquakes in divers places. And then the moral situation that we find in the world today, around the world, is deteriorating. Men are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And that's another sign that we see. And the political situation, economic situation, is pointing toward a one world and the desire that we have is all brought together somehow. And that's happening in our world today. And men are crying for peace. And they're trying to get together, trying, how can we reconcile all of this together? And they're going to endeavor to do that. And the Antichrist will step out one day, and he'll be that one that will lead the world astray and lead in the wrong way. But thank God for those who are saved. Jesus said that he's coming back to get us. The rapture, the word rapture is not in Bible, but the teaching is. It means snatched out, called away, caught up in. And one day Jesus said he'd step out and said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Jesus will come with a shout and the voice of the archangel, trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and we'll go up and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. I say hallelujah. It's a great day to be living. Somebody said, I'd like to be living in the days of Jesus or in the days of Paul or early church. I tell you what, we're living in exciting days, exciting times. You say, preacher, it's dangerous times. It is. It's perilous times. It is. It's sinful times. It is. But what a day to be allowed to live in, to let the light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a light in a dark world, to point men and women, boys and girls to the Bible, the Word of God, and have some answers for our situation, answers for life. And by the way, everybody here needs to answer three questions at least. Where'd you come from? And let me say today, there's no question about it, but man was created by God and created for his glory. You say, preacher, I believe in evolution, then you need to rethink your thinking, because without God, what holds it all together? And I've often used my watch as an illustration. If I took it apart cog by cog, piece by piece, and kept throwing it up in the air and catching it in a plate, how long would it take it before that watch would come together and put together, keep in time, and be just right? You say, preacher, that never happened. You can never get it to do that. That's what the Big Bang Theory says. It all banged and everything just fell in place and just so happened to be so far from the sun, from the earth and the moon, gravitational pull, and all that just happened. I say baloney on all that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God took of the dust of the earth and created man, breathing his nostrils, breath of life, and man became a living soul. Number two, not only where'd you come from, but what are you doing here? What's your reason for living? Why do you live anyway? What's your purpose? Make money? Have a good time? Do this, do that, do the other, mount this up? Hey, listen, that'll never satisfy. It'll never bring real satisfaction, and neither will it answer the question, what am I here for? You are here for the glory of God. You're here to worship and adore him and trust him. I say, thank God, I have a reason to live, is to magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, where are you going? And everybody needs to answer that question. Well, preacher, I had a man up in Virginia one time said he's going up from Richmond or somewhere. That's where they're going to bury him. That's not what I'm talking about. You're a living soul and have a breath in you that will never, never cease to be. And you'll either go to heaven or hell, one or the other. There's no in-between place. It's either heaven or hell. And hell's as real as heaven is. And you don't have to go to hell. Thank God Jesus came that you might be saved and go to heaven. I'm glad Jesus Christ made a way for us that we might be born in the family of God. And Brother Ronnie dwelt much today on Jesus, and I praise the name of Jesus that he did. You can't exhaust Jesus. You can't preach him enough. You can't teach him enough. He's the only hope man has, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But all to know him and to be saved and know that you are have life eternal and going to live forever. Well, I was just kind of giving you, I just throw that in, amen. And I pray it'll help you, but I want to look at this recovering here today. And context of it, of course, David's fleeing from Saul, Saul's trying to kill him. He went down to Ziklag. Now, that's another story, and I won't go into all that and David's position there. But while he and the men are out, then the Amalekites come in, and they take their wives, their children, and their possessions and all they have, and then they burn the city and leave. Let me say, that's what the devil's out to do, is to destroy. He's out to take your children. He's out to take your family. And the family's the first thing I want to talk about today. And we need to recover the family. Amen. And our generation, we have a generation that, hey, by the way, let me plug this in right here. God did not create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. Been a bad shape. It was just Adam and another man. I mean, there wouldn't be no human race today. And that wasn't God's way. And we got a generation that's being taught that homosexuality is all right. It's just another lifestyle. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's an abomination in the sight of God. And you say, preacher, do you not have any compassion? I do. I pray that God, anybody in this house that has that kind of philosophy and that kind of belief, I pray the Holy Ghost will get at you under conviction that you'll see the wrong of it and come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior and be saved. Amen. And God created Adam and Eve, and that's the way God meant for it to be. And what worries me today is our young folk, our children, our younger generation, our teenagers, our 20s and 30-year-olds are being bombarded with this thing that everybody has a right to live their life and it's okay, it's their lifestyle and that kind of thing. And that's another bunch of baloney. Now, if y'all don't know what baloney is, that's cheap steak, amen. But baloney on the whole thing, amen. And I'm telling you today that it's not all right. It's wrong in the sight of a holy God. And we need that. But let me just give you the very basis for the family. And I don't have time to spend a lot of time on that. But I want you to look with me in Ephesians, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves, therefore, to your own husbands as unto the Lord. We'll leave it right there. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, you can't have one without the other. Amen. And somebody said, well, preacher, you against women? No, sir. I love my wife, my daughter, my granddaughters, and I don't have anything against women. My daughter-in-law, women have their place, amen. And thank God for them, amen. Godly women. I thank God for the women who stood up here and sung today. I praise God for that. But God put man in leadership position. And by the way, let me say to the men, to the ladies today, husbands are held more accountable for the family than you are. Because they're be the head of the family and lead the family. And we have a generation today that thinks that that's not the way it ought to be, but getting quiet. Ladies, remember this. You're just as important in the sight of God as man is. Amen. It's just a position God put you in. Jesus is as much God as the Father is, but when he came to earth, he took a position of lower and submitted himself unto the Father. Amen. And so, but that wasn't because he wasn't God. That's because he, and so women, you're just as important as man is. God has a special place for you, and it is a special place. Thank God for godly women. Thank God for godly mothers. Thank God for godly wives. Thank God for that. Amen. And praise the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a big order for us. Amen. And wives, we have a great responsibility to love you and to care for you. And what a privilege it is to do so, but it's a great responsibility that we have. But in chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest dwell, may live long on the earth. And it says, ye father, provoke not your children to wrath. But let me say to you today, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time because we don't have a whole lot of time to spend on this particular subject, but I'm saying to you today, we need to recover our family. Thank God for husband, wives, and children. And that's good, and that's right. And husbands, wives, and children, and husbands leading the family, and wives being faithful wives, and loving and caring, and children that care and love. Ain't not a more beautiful picture in all the world of the church than a husband and wife that being right with God. Amen. And I never see a bride walk through that door back there that I don't think about the bride of Christ, which is the church. And born-again believers, and when they come to meet that groom, which is Christ, a picture of Christ Jesus, and that bride comes down that aisle, what a picture that is, amen. And for the family, picturing that. And God made the first institution on this earth was the family. And the family is important, amen. The church is no stronger than the families that's in it. And it'll not be any stronger than that. And so let me say to you, we need some families that love God. Husbands that love God, wives that love God, children that love God. And I'm going to plug in a few things right here. There's a whole lot of things we have today that is taking the place of what we ought to have in our homes. Amen. And I'm going to hit something just a minute, and so just hang on real quick. I know there's some good things to be happening on Facebook. I realize that. But a lot of times it becomes a gossip session. And just going to put on there what I had for breakfast and what I did today, who I saw and who I said hi to and all that junk. I don't have time for that. Amen. And if I want to talk to somebody, pick up a phone, call them. Amen. And talk to them. But I know some of y'all get on that. And the thing about it is, the bad thing about it is you get hooked on it. And comes an obsession with you and takes your time. Amen. You're welcome. And this thing of the telephone. Hey, I have a cell phone. I left mine in the office, amen. But I may forget that someday and wear it out here. But if I do, I'll try to remember and turn it off. And if I don't do that, then I realize there's people that work for EMS and people that have certain jobs and have certain situations, or real sick folk that get called. We had one get called the other night and had to leave out real quick. I understand that. But this thing of texting in church, amen. And you don't need to be doing that. We're in church, amen. We're here to worship God. And young folk need to learn that. Children need to learn that. Even moms and dads need to learn that. And so I just thought I'd plug that in while I'm running by it, amen. And by the way, it's good to see families together in the house of God together, amen, and see them set together and teach their children how to behave in church and just love God. Amen. I praise God for that. I say to you today, thank God for the family, amen. And let's in our generation, acts like family's not important, you know. It don't make any difference. We got too much other things going on to fool with family. I say we need to recover our families. Amen. You're welcome. Amen. Good preaching, preacher. Preach on. And so we got the families handled here. Let's talk about our first love. And I'm not talking about first love, you sweetheart. I'm not talking about that kind of first love. I want you to turn with me in Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. We need to recover this first love. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in the right hand, who walketh in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. I read those two verses I just read, and I think, my, what a church. What a great church. He said they had good works and patience. And they stood for the right and right doctrine. They had it all right. And they for his name's sake they labored, had not fainted. But nevertheless, in chapter 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. And here he's saying to us that we need to renew our first love and recover that first love. He said, some's left there. What is that first love anyway? Well, Brother Ronnie hit on it strongly today in Sunday school and talked about being saved. When he first got saved, he mentioned it over and over again. When he first got saved, when he got saved, he knew he got saved. I want to say today, thank God for that first love. You remember when you first got saved? You remember when you first came to know Jesus Christ? And as Brother Ronnie said this morning, hey, maybe a lot of things we may forget about, but I can't forget the day God saved me by His marvelous grace. Hey, salvation is a miracle of God. It's not just a deciding in your head, I want to decide now I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to decide that I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to decide I'm going to quit drinking liquor and cussing, and I'm going to decide to live for God. It don't work that way. You can decide what you want to, but I tell you, when the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of your heart and squeezes it real hard, and God takes the preaching of the Word of God, and somehow you get in the Word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If that ever happens to you and you realize you're lost and going to hell without God, and you need a Savior, and you come down the aisle and repent and give your heart to Jesus and just cry out to God, save you. And it's not repeating a prayer. It's not looking at a certain scripture. Now, we may show some scripture to give assurance, and we may pray a prayer, but I want you to know I don't ask people to repeat after me. You need to call out to God, to yourself, and say, God, help me. Amen. Hey, Peter was sinking out there in the water one day. He didn't go through a long prayer. He just said, God, Jesus, save me. Lord, save me. And the Lord saved him. Amen. I know that's a picture. He meant from drowning, but that's a picture of salvation. When you realize you're drowning and going down and you need help and you're sunk, if He don't help you, it's not too hard then to call out on God. I guarantee you, when that tsunami hit in Japan, there was people crying out to God. There was people asking God for help. And some probably washed away, died and went to hell without God because they didn't know Jesus. And people make fun of the church, make fun of old time preaching and singing and praising God. It comes down time to die, they'll wish they knew God. It comes down time to meet God, you'll wish you knew God. I'm trying to tell you today, best thing that ever happened to me is the day God saved me by marvelous grace. And that first love, I didn't understand all about it, but I knew one thing about it. When it come time to go to church, I wanted to go to church. When it come time to read my Bible, I wanted to read the Bible. I wanted to pray. I wanted to learn more about it. I want to be around God's people. I wanted to hear preaching. I had a revival. I want to be there. Come to prayer meeting time. I want to see what's going on. Amen. I'd have went to the ladies meeting if it would let me. Amen. I mean, praise God. You remember that first love you had for the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Bible said over in the church of Ephesus, they've done good, done well, but said you left your first love. Hey, we need to renew that first love. Get excited about when we come to church, walk through the door. Hallelujah. Glad to be in the house of God. Amen. And sometimes people, and I can't help refer back to Sunday school. Man, that was good. I started letting Ronnie preach this morning. Amen. He did a great job. I just thinking about that. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you come to church to hear me, you didn't come to get much. But if you come to hear from this book and hear what God's got to say, you'll get something out of it. God will help you. Amen. I'm a nobody that God picked up and made somebody. Amen. I was nobody going nowhere except to hell. But God came by and picked me up and saved me by His marvelous grace. Bashful, backward, as I could be as a young man and a boy growing up, but God somehow put something down inside of me that burns like a mighty fire. Jeremiah said, I said I'd stop. I said I'd quit. I wouldn't mention it anymore, but said I felt it was like a burning fire on the inside. I could not stay. I say, hallelujah. God put a fire down inside. And I can't stay. I can't quit. I can't stop now. I got to keep going for the glory of God, by the grace of God. I tell you today, first love, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God and the Lamb forever. I pray God to help you today if you're not saved to see you're in need of a Savior. I'm going to get the third point here real quick. Fear of God. We need to recover the fear of God. Amen. God help us today in our day. In Romans 3:18, there's no fear of God. We're living in a generation that seemingly don't have any fear of God. They act like God doesn't exist, and the Word of God make fun of it. And those people that cry about homosexuality and all that, they're denying the Word of God. And if they're denying the Word of God, they're denying the God of heaven. And if they're denying that, they're denying something else. Amen. Something else will come down the pike here tonight. And this thing's getting out of hand. And I'm saying to you today, we need to recover some things. If we don't recover and get back to what the Bible says, we're sunk sure enough. Amen. Fast going down, but I'm glad we got the Word of God to help us. Amen. And our hope and trust is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. I want you to turn with me, please, in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. He said, I hate the forward mouth. He said, I hate fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you don't hate evil, don't fear God. That's what's wrong with America. That's what's wrong with the world. They don't fear God. There's no fear of God. I'm on. I thought the thing went out on me. But you know what today? Listen. If people fear God like we ought to fear God, there'd be a different world in which we live. And this thing about pride, look over in chapter number 6, verse 16. These six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look starts out with a proud look. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Heart that deviseth wicked imagination. We're living in a generation that imagines wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift to run into mischief. A false witness speaketh lies. He that soweth discord among the brethren. We need to recover the fear of God in our day. And because we're all going to meet God. Ecclesiastes says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for God shall bring every work and every secret thing into judgment. I believe that, amen. We're going to meet God one day. You're going to meet God one day. And we need to fear God and be sure that we do so. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, I believe it is, says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And everybody I'm preaching to this morning, someday is going to be in the hands of the living God. And today he can cut your breath off just like that. And he can stop things real quick. Over in Japan, they wasn't that day looking for that to come, but it happened. And when it happened, it caught many by surprise. They didn't have much warning, had a little bit for some, but some people just got caught and didn't have. I'm trying to tell you today, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And I'm telling you, we need to recover some things today. And we need to recover the faith of our fathers. Amen. We need to recover those that believed God, stood for right, and had some convictions, and had some character. And amen. And stood for what was right. And I say today, we need to recover some of that. When a man gave you his word, is his word. Truth stood by. I got to quit. I'm telling you today, we need to recover some things. May God help us recover our families. God help us recover this thing about the fear of God. God help us with that. We need to recover our first love. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus. I thank you for the privilege that we have to call you our Heavenly Father. I thank you for the Word of God that you've given to us. And Father, surely today, God, we need to recover. And I pray in Jesus' name that we'll not let the words go in and out of our ears, but may it get in our minds and sink deep down in our hearts. Lord, I pray for every person here that's unsaved, that the Holy Spirit do a work in their heart, help them to realize it and admit they're unsaved. Father, they'll be honest with you and honest with themselves, that you can help them if they'll repent. Lord, you said in thy word that David recovered all. And I believe today, Lord, you can help us recover. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help folk today that's unsaved. They may realize the fact they can be born in the family of God. They can have a life to live for Jesus forever and forever. I pray for those who are here saved, but their lives, you're touching today about their families, or touching today about their first love they've left, touching today about the fear of God. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name you'd help all of us examine ourselves. Lord, that we'd do what you'd have us to do, that we might please you in all things and bring glory to you. I pray in the invitation the Holy Spirit have his way. Lord, we can't make anybody do anything, but I pray the Holy Spirit, God, do a work. I pray you rebuke the devil. There's some sitting here today that may be trying to push it aside. Say, I don't want to hear it. I don't need it. But Lord, help them to see they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us see that we need to recover our first love. And Father, I pray you'd work in hearts and lives. Have your way, magnify yourself. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.